From Matthew chapter 1, I want to read about the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Jesus, the Savior who has come into the world to rescue us from our sins and our mistakes and all that has separated us from you. Thank you for making us worthy to be called sons and daughters, for adopting us into your eternal family. As we focus upon the birth this season, I pray that you'd speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. We are focusing upon an amazing family. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. The most unique family of all. There has never been a family like this throughout the history of the world. But here is a young woman who was notified that she was with child. And she didn't have to take a pregnancy test, not that they would have had one. She received a message from God through an angel that you're with child. With the gender reveal of all gender reveals, it will be a boy. Not only that, this was a reveal of the person of Jesus. Now Joseph could have had her, when he was notified that she was with child, could have had her publicly disgraced. You see, this was a pledge to be married. It was the betrothal, the engagement. It was legally binding. And he decided, I will just quietly divorce her and not put her through public shame. And another messenger from God, an angel, announced to him the child, the gender, the person of Jesus. An amazing family, the family of God that was birthed on that day from that moment throughout eternity. Now, I really want to focus on the genealogy of Jesus today, going back to Matthew 1:1. Matthew, a disciple of Jesus, called out of his life into a new life. Matthew, who became an apostle. Matthew, who was a despicable, unliked tax collector of that time period. He was a tax collector who sent money to Rome. He would pay taxes ahead of time. This is how it worked. And then the tax collectors would recoup their money. He had a stand along the main highway, and there he would collect duties from farmers and merchants and caravans as they were importing their goods. We find Matthew along the road in Capernaum. And tax collectors were pretty despicable because when they recouped way more than they needed. They were known for being extortionists. They were known for taking advantage. They were not liked at all. They were backed by Roman soldiers, Roman law. So they were despised. And Jesus called him out of that life into a new life. And he was a great follower of Jesus because he gave great attention to detail. He could size people up. And so 20 years later, it served him well to write the book of Matthew. And I don't know if you have done this, probably many times like I have when I'm reading through the Bible and I get to Matthew 1, I get to verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and then I skip down to verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Skip down all of these names and all these generations for the lineage of Jesus. But there's some characters, quite the people in this family tree of Jesus. And you probably have some characters in your family tree. Maybe you have somebody in your family that put together a family tree and you found some quite a list of people, some scoundrels perhaps. Or maybe you've taken one of those ancestry DNA tests that reveals your heritage. A couple of guys I sing with, we were together up in Indiana a couple of years ago. And their mom and dad called a family meeting. The two brothers that I sing with have a brother that's a preacher in Chicago, and then they have a brother who's a camp manager in Ohio. And they drove in for this family meeting. Mom and dad were there. They had a family meeting at the hotel. Well, a couple of weeks before that, a couple of the brothers, Scott and Randy, the preacher in Chicago, they went on a cruise together. And Randy said, "My wife, she bought me one of those DNA tests." I was sharing this with Scott to find out about your ancestry. Well, I discovered there's a woman in Texas who's a 98%+ match to us. How can that be possible? That can only be possible if she's a blood relative. So they had suspicion that mom and dad were going to reveal that they have a sister. Well, they called together the family meeting. Mom and dad had been alluding for a few months. There's something they needed to share with them. And in fact, they did share. It was something they were afraid to tell them, something from their past, a family secret. "You have a sister who lives in Texas. For you see, when we were first married, your dad was in the military," and he said, "Yeah, I was overseas, and our marriage was pretty rocky at first, and your mom became pregnant, and we weren't sure this marriage was going to work, or we were even going to come back together, and so we agreed to put the baby up for adoption." But then their marriage was restored. They built a healthy family with four boys. When the oldest boy was in high school, they moved to Grayson, Kentucky, and their father decided to go into ministry, went through Bible college, became a preacher for several years. But they never told their boys about this sister who actually reached out to them and made contact with them, and for several months they had been communicating, and they notified him, "She came up to see us last fall." This was in midwinter when they were having the family meeting. "She came to visit us. And we had been sharing with her the gospel, and your dad baptized her into Christ when she came to visit." And here's a picture of the family with the boys and their new sister, mom and dad in the back. And then this next picture, they reenacted an Olin Mills picture from when the boys were little. But they didn't have their sister in that picture. So they reenacted the Olin Mills picture and added their sister to the picture. And they have had some great communications with her. And they love their sister, and their sister loves them. A great story. A great story of reuniting a family. Well, as we look at the family tree of Jesus, we find that there's quite a story. And as we focus upon this genealogy, I want to look at three in this genealogy. The first one being Judah. Verse 2 and 3, Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. That there's quite a history here. Moses, or Matthew, starts off with the two most famous, and that is David and Abraham. The two most famous in the heritage of Jesus. He begins there, and then he goes through this list. Now, you remember the story of perhaps of Abram and Sarai. Abraham became the father of Isaac at the age of 100 after making a mess before this. And then there's the story of Abraham and Isaac. He was going to offer up Isaac on the altar before God, but God stops him. Isaac, and he marries, and they give birth to the twins, Jacob and Esau. And Esau sells his birthright. We discover from Jacob and Esau, and what a story that is, how important the birthright is. And now Jacob, he's given the name Israel by God, and that's where we have the children of Israel. We have the 12 tribes of Israel from 12 of the sons of Jacob, Israel. And one of those sons is Judah. The most famous of all is Joseph. Joseph, we read about him in about a fourth of the book of Genesis is dedicated to Joseph, and there's not one thing said bad about Joseph. Yet he's not listed in the genealogy of Jesus. Judah and the other brothers, they were jealous of Joseph. He is the favored one. So if you have a favorite child, it's not a good idea to proclaim it. But Jacob, he did. In fact, he had a special coat of many colors made just for Joseph. And his brothers despised that and despised Joseph. And Joseph had this dream, and he revealed the dream that about his brothers and his mom and dad bowing down to him. That just was putting salt in the wound, gasoline to the fire. And one day the brothers had enough, and they threw Joseph in a pit. And they determined, we're going to kill Joseph. We're going to get rid of him. We're tired of hearing him. We're tired of seeing him. We're tired of hearing about him. And Judah steps up and says, we don't want to kill Joseph. Otherwise, his blood will be on our hands instead. Let's sell him. We can get money. And he convinces them, we'll sell him to the caravan coming by of slave traders, and he's taken into Egypt and sold into slavery. And they take that coat that they despised of many colors, and they tear it into pieces, and they take goat's blood and they dip it in the goat's blood, and they take it to their father. Judah may have been the one who masterminded this whole story. Says, Dad, look what we found. Is this Joseph's coat? And Jacob lives decades, and they watch their father suffer for decades, believing that Joseph had been killed. Liars, deceivers. Judah, a part of Jesus' heritage, his ancestry. Not only do we have Judah, a liar and a scoundrel, but let's also look at Tamar. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Really, this is the story of Judah continued. When we look at Tamar, that Judah, he married an outsider, a Canaanite woman. And they together had three sons, Er, Onan, and Shelah. And Er, the oldest son, he marries Tamar. Now, Er, he was wicked. He is so wicked that it says the Lord put him to death. Because he was so wicked, the Lord put him to death. Now, here's the rule. I don't know how this works. I mean, I know we learned about how significant the birthright is, but now the oldest son, he is dead. The second son must take his wife as his wife, and they must have offspring that would be credited to the older son, carrying the older son's name, which I'm not sure how that is possible or works, but that's the way it was done. But Onan, he said, I'm not having children with her. I'm not carrying on children unless they're credited to me, not for my son, my brother, my older brother, my deceased brother. And so he refused, and it says, so also the Lord put him to death. So now Tamar, once again, is a widow. So, as the rules stated, the third son must now take her as his wife for the same purpose. But Sheila's too young. And so Judah says, you just stay in my house till Sheila is old enough, and then we'll give you a marriage to Sheila. But it didn't happen. Sheila grew up, and I don't want to marry her. Judah didn't force the issue. Judah's wife passes away. Now he's a widower. As he's traveling up the road to check on his sheep, Tamar had gone ahead up the road. She had disguised herself as a prostitute, as a cult. There were temples that worshiped paganism, and there were temple prostitutes, and they dealt with these for thousands of years. The Apostle Paul was confronting this issue in the cities he was going into thousands of years later. But she dressed up like a prostitute, and she seduced Judah along the road, and he said, okay, well, how much? And they agreed on, how about a young goat? Well, I don't have one with me. How about if I leave some collateral? All right, I'll take your signet ring, the cord that you wrap around, and your staff, all very identifiable to the owner. I'll take those as collateral. You can send the young goat later. Which a little bit later, sends one of his servants with the young goat. He comes back and says, I didn't find her. Nobody knew of this cult prostitute. She wasn't anywhere to be found. And so Judah says, not a word to anyone or I'll become a laughingstock. 3 months later, it's announced that Tamar is pregnant. Judah says, this is obviously by immorality. We must call her out, and she must be burned to death. Do I have a defense? What is your defense? She holds out the staff and the signet ring and the cord and said, the Father is the one to whom these belong. And Judah says, she is more righteous than I. And spares her life. And twins seem to run in the family, so she gives birth to twins. We find throughout history the two greatest stumblers of men, money, the root of all evil, is comes down to a love of all kinds of evil, comes from the love of money. That's why God placed stipulations for thousands upon thousands of years, requiring an amount to give back plus your offerings, an amount required, because He knew the greatest competition for our hearts is money. And He didn't want to compete with money and stuff. Where your treasure is, your heart is also. So He made a requirement so that the hearts would be drawn to Him. You can't serve both money and God. And the second greatest temptation is the sexual desires, which has caused many problems throughout history. That's why God put stipulations on both. Put bounds upon both, because it's so destructive. Now, as we journey down the genealogy, we also come across Rahab. Now, this had to be corrected, the spelling. I didn't notice it, but the auto-corrector had it as Rehab. Rahab was once, she didn't pretend to be a prostitute. She was a prostitute in Canaan and in Jericho, but she rehabbed. She got over it. To make a long story short, and I know I got to wrap it up here. Joseph brought his family into Egypt. Then they ended up becoming slaves there for 400 years. Moses was raised up and took them out of Egypt, where they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Then Joshua led them into the promised land. But before they went into the promised land, Joshua sent a couple of spies, especially to this fortified city called Jericho. And there, Rahab, the prostitute, hid the spies so that they wouldn't be captured or found. And when she sent them back, said, "Please have mercy. We have seen what you have done, and we know you follow the God." And she proclaimed God as God. "And please have mercy on me and my family, and spare us." And so they made an agreement with her. "You hang a scarf out the window, and we'll know to spare your family when all this comes about." But here is Rahab, an outsider, another Canaanite woman, a prostitute woman, in the genealogy of Jesus. Scoundrels all the way through, messy people, imperfect people. And that's the message of Christmas, is that there's a place for all of us in God's family. That's the story of this amazing family. That we are sons and daughters of the Most High God in this eternal family covered by His grace. We could go on and we could talk about not just the brothers and the leaders of the 12 tribes. We could go to the apostles. You know, Judas, he doesn't count, but he was called to be an apostle. But he was greedy and he betrayed Jesus. Thomas, he doubted the resurrection of Jesus. Peter, he was a liar. "I don't know Jesus. I wasn't with Him." He denied Jesus 3 times. Matthew, the tax collector, and on and on. Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" Down to verse 10. "And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed." There's the name Judah. On the east, three gates, and on the north, three gates, and on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates, and on the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There's Peter, a liar, who denied Christ three times. There's Thomas, who doubted. This is the message of Christmas. That God has a place for every one of us, no matter your history. He is calling all of us out of the past into a wonderful, amazing, eternal family because of His amazing grace. And there is no one that is too far. That you cannot be adopted into God's eternal family. And maybe today it's time for you to say, I want to confess Jesus as Lord. I want to be adopted into this eternal family. That I'm ready to turn away from the old life of sin and walk in the light, walk in the new life. To be buried. When we go under the water in baptism, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we come up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Raised into new life. Galatians says when we are baptized into Christ, we are clothed with Christ. We put on Christ, a new person. Heavenly Father, Jesus came for the whole world. For You so loved the world that You gave us this great gift in Jesus. That there is no one that is too far gone or too despicable or too deep in sin that they cannot be called out and rescued by You. We see that in the genealogy of Jesus, that there were those who were outsiders. They weren't part of the lineage of Abraham, other than by marriage coming in. And we have sinners, every one of them, every one of us. Not one of us is perfect, only He is perfect. And only He could pay the price for our sin. And we give thanks. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that needs You, that they would have the courage to step out and say, I need Jesus. It's in His name I pray. Amen.